Richard Taylor's The Disciplined Life is a very short book. It's 100 pages. It's published by a Pentecostal Nazarene publisher. And I don't think it is still in print. But what a fun book and a helpful book. What a timely book for us these days. I want to read just a number of quotes from this and give a short book review that will inspire you toward the subject of the disciplined life. And I want to say the best thing about this book is the topic. The topic is so timely and essential. So let me just jump right in and read a number of lines right from this book as we go through. In the foreword, which is not in your notes, the man who writes the foreword says, quote, "God will not look you over for medals, but for scars." He doesn't want to see if you're the winner. He wants to see if you were fighting. Were you working hard, or were you always trying to put yourself in the winner's position? The introduction, you can see in your notes there. I'll just pull quotes from it as we go through. "Discipline is what moderns need the most and want the least." Isn't that true? Look at children who don't like to work. Look at adults who don't like to work. Look at people who can't save their money. They get paid on the 31st, and by the 3rd of the next month, they're out of money. Before they had the job, they were somehow living. But 6 months into the job, they've learned how to spend their money in 3 days. And then by the 12th of the month, hey, can you just borrow me 50 rand? Now, what were you doing for the first 28 years of your life before you had that job? Discipline is what we desperately need. Because of the wealth that has been created in modern societies, we are constantly tempted to live without discipline. What I mean by that is, how often did your great-grandfather eat sugar? Not your father or your grandfather, your great-grandfather. They didn't eat sugar very much. A series of books that my wife has read to our children more than once is called The Little House on the Prairie series. It's a story of a little girl and her sisters and her mom and dad, and they grew up in America before America was full of people. 180 years ago or so. And they were slowly moving west where there were no people. And they were very poor, and they built their houses that had no metal, basically, only wood and grass and sticks and things that they could find. The father would dig the well with his own hands, and they would just live farming. They have no lock on their door because they couldn't make a lock, and there's no one around to steal anything. And when she's an old woman, she writes these stories about how she grew up. And she wrote about how her and her sister were so excited on Christmas when for Christmas, this is their Christmas present, they would get an orange. Imagine the child today who for Christmas just gets excited because he gets an orange. Now, I'm not saying it's sin to buy your children Christmas presents. It's not. But it's unusually difficult. How do you raise kids today when my kids, I grew up and I thought we were rich, but now looking back, my children eat better than I did growing up. Do your children eat better than you did? I look at that and think, how can this be? We need a disciplined life because there's such amazing wealth from capitalism, from a modern economy, from buying and selling and free trade. And if you say, well, I'm still poor, what are you wearing right now? Do you have a zipper on any of your clothes? That's more than your great-grandfather had. Do you have
Do you have polyester? Do you have elastic on anything? That stretchy stuff?
Many Christians have religious feelings without rugged self-denial. That's page 13. We have got this idea to get religious feelings, but we haven't learned to deny ourselves. And of course, self-denial is a vital part of the Christian message. Can anyone give me some verses where the Bible teaches we must deny ourselves?
Luke 9:23. If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross every day and follow me. Right there. Again, Luke says in Luke 12, sell what you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. He says it again in Luke 16. Luke 14. How is it that we can call ourselves Christians if we haven't learned to deny ourselves?
Chapter 1 is discipline. It's the key to power. I think chapter 1 might be the best chapter in the book. Might be. Quote, the world belongs to the disciplined. It's time that we throw away excuses. We don't say anymore, oh, well, the government's helping them. Or, oh, well, they got this because they... Let's just admit, people who are disciplined go far in life. At the point that we give ourselves to entertainment and relaxation, beyond what these give back to us in increased work, quote, then the play becomes the mark of a decadent age and the badge of softness rather than strength. Decadent means you're filled with luxury. So, if you relax and sleep and entertain yourself, if you play sports beyond which the sports are giving you real benefit to your soul, then the sports or the sleep or the eating or the cold drink or the sugar or the money or the riches or the comfort or the air conditioning, then it is the mark of a decadent age and softness rather than maturity. Wow, that struck my heart. So he's not saying don't rest. Fine, take a nap, rest, have fun, spend time with your kids, play soccer, watch a soccer game or whatever. That's fine. But at the point, and this is where he's getting in the book, at the point where the pleasure goes beyond the point that it's not doing your soul good, you've got to be able to look into yourself and say, how much sleep do I need? That's the disciplined life. How much rest do I need? How much sugar do I need? How much food do I need? How many clothes do I need? How much money do I need? And when you've reached that point, you need to cut it off yourself. That's the disciplined life. And I often think that that's the difference between mature Christianity and immature Christianity. And I often think of missionaries who leave their home and there's no one to watch how they're spending their funds. Sometimes some missionaries are lazy. They spend their money badly. They take all that they can get, and they lead a pretty comfortable life. But it should be the mark of a godly missionary to be governed by his own discipline, even when other people aren't watching him. Number 6, quote, a trained mind can evaluate evidence, think logically. Underline these. Evaluate evidence, think logically, select ends, and devise means. It can concentrate on essentials and discard the irrelevant. Wow. Wouldn't you like your mind to be able to do those things? To evaluate the evidence, think logically, select the ends, devise the means, concentrate on essentials and discard the irrelevant. A trained mind can think more rapidly and also more accurately. We tend to think someone is clever if they can think more quickly than someone else. What if they're just practiced by discipline? What if it's not something that God gave them when they were born? What if it's something they taught themselves over time? Listen, brothers and sisters, this is great news. Some people don't like this message because they'll say, it makes me feel bad. Yes, this book made me feel bad too, repeatedly. I'm 42, and I haven't written any of these books that Martin Luther or Jonathan Edwards have written. I feel ashamed. I've got all these books, and I've got computers. I haven't done what these men have done. This book on the disciplined life shamed me. But, so many people don't like it because it's painful. But if you will take the medicine, you can improve. Isn't that good news? See, other people who say, oh, I don't like this message. This message makes me feel bad. What's the option? You can never change. You're always going to be poor. You're always going to be dumb. But if the difference is, if I practice hard, I can grow. If that's the difference, well, then this book is good news because you don't have to stay dumb or poor or backward. Some people are so angry, if you even mention to them, well, these people are beyond you. Oh, how can you say, no, we're the same. I'm just as good as he is. No, actually, he's better than you. No, we're the same. I can't believe you say that. Oh, that's not true. They are trapping themselves in mediocrity at best or in failure at worst. But if we don't want to stay at mediocrity or failure, I don't want to. I want to be as good as Luther and Edwards. I want to get better. So I say, thank you, Mr. Taylor, even though you're not even a Baptist. You're a Pentecostal Nazarene. Thank you. Why don't we have other men writing books like this? He goes on, number 7, quote, a disciplined character is the great lack, the fatal deficiency, he means, in modern culture. The edge possessed by the disciplined over the undisciplined shows up in many little things. And then he lists them all in the book. Making your bed, coming on time, brushing your teeth, grooming yourself, working hard. He lists all these kinds of things. Even the way your books are kept. Oh, I thought, let me see, my books are all neat. I look at this one and it's all damaged and ruined. The disciplined mind shows up in all these details. And look at this closing part, underline this, number 8. The difference is what? Habit. And habit is character. When I read this, I thought, this is it. This is why so many people start in our churches and fall away. Because they can quickly learn this. In a 45-minute session, I can teach them the bondage of the will. I can tell them, the Bible says your will is bound in sin. Say that back to me. What is your will? It is bound in sin. Say it again. And they can learn that. I can teach them the points of the gospel. But how can you teach them a habit of getting up on time? How can you teach a habit of when you get 1,000 rand, put 800 in the bank and don't touch it until you saved up 10,000 and then just buy bricks? Instead, what do they come with? A new phone, this or that, and then you've got a car. How many of you have ever seen a car parked at a Mukuku? Or a house that costs 30,000 rand? People forming their own bricks, it's a 3-room house or something. And then a bucky that's 400,000. I've seen those. And I think, what are you doing? The bucky's going to run out in 10 years. It's going to wear out. And your house is going to wear out too. And then you're going to have nothing. You should buy a 400,000 rand house and a 30,000 rand car. Switch the two. Because the value will stay in the house longer. But they don't have character. They don't have the habit. Ever since they were young, if they had 2 rand, run to buy Masimba. Rather than being, wait, with that 2 rand, wait a minute. Break that down. See if you can get 3-4 coins out of that. See if you can get 4 50s. Put 150 away to give to church. Put 150 away to save. And put that 1 rand and go buy something. But that's character. That's what he's talking about. Chapter 2, discipline, the mark of maturity. This is another very good chapter in the book. Self-discipline is the ability to regulate conduct by principle and judgment rather than impulse, desire, high pressure, or social custom. Right there, underline that. Regulate conduct by principle and judgment. That's it. Is your conduct regulated by principle and judgment, or is your conduct regulated by impulse? Impulse means whatever desire comes into your mind. You want to sleep, so you sleep. You want to get up, you get up. You want to drink, you drink. You want sugar, you go out and buy it. Number 10, appetites for food, sleep, and other pleasures must be controlled. His section in chapter 2 on food, sleep, and physical intimacy are fantastic. They are interesting and convicting. I read about his section on food, and I thought, I am undisciplined. I need to grow. I need to grow in my character, not grow in my size. Number 11, further, Christian self-control brings the emotions, moods, speech, and priorities. He has a whole section in here on controlling your mood. Oh, thank you. This should be taught in all the schools in our country. I am so tired of seeing moody girls. And I'm tired of seeing boys who follow their whim. They don't come to work when they'll say they'll work. How many boys at Valdezia said, yeah, we start at 7, and they show up at 9 or 9:30? Well, you say, yes, but they're volunteering. Okay, fair enough. What do you think they're going to do when they get a job? They have to learn that character. Number 12, quote, a mature, disciplined Christian has learned to feel just as good when he feels bad as he does when he feels good. Oh, isn't that good? That's an amen time. That it's lines like that that made me want to review this book. This is hard, isn't it? When you feel bad, you want everyone to know that you feel bad, right? I'm that way. My kids are that way. Walking around with their frown and moping. And I have to tell the kids, hey, don't do that. The way you're walking like that, you're trying to be a big sign. You're saying, everyone, look at me. I'm miserable, and I don't want you to be happy. If I'm this way, you have to be this way too. Don't do that, because we don't want to be that way. We want to be laughing. So you need to overcome that and be happy. And you need to be happy, not for your sake, but for us. And I often ask my children, do you love me? Yes, Daddy. And quit that, because I don't want to see that. I want to see happiness. How would you feel if I walk around all the time? I wouldn't like it. Right, and we don't like it when you're that way either. You have, Dennis Prager said this at the beginning of the lockdowns. He said, you have a moral obligation to be easy to live with during the miserable time of the lockdowns. That's pretty good. You have a moral obligation to be easy to live with. And I've thought repeatedly, I've got to work on that. These are good messages for me. Too many people have, quote, a first-rate dedication to second-rate causes. Oh, thank you, Mr. Taylor, over and over. So many of these things demand our attention. We need to give our attention to the most important things, and that only comes by discipline. Chapter 3, the dangers or the perils of discipline. He mentions three dangers. Pride. I thought this was very interesting. What's one of the great dangers with discipline? As soon as you are disciplined, you will begin to be superior. And as soon as you are superior, what happens next? You will feel that you are superior. And the feeling is the thing we want to stop. Nico, I want you to be superior. I just don't want you to know it. I want you to be an amazing man and not know it at all. I read that once in a biography. It said, William Carey is the most amazing man, and he seems... This is a lady who met William Carey when he was in India, when he was an older man. She wrote, William Carey is an amazing man, and everyone knows it except Mr. Carey. Ah! Isn't that what you want in your boy? You want your boy to be amazing and not know it. That's what we want. So maybe we should stop telling our children they're beautiful. Tell everyone else they're beautiful, but not the kid themselves. Chapter 4, discipline and holiness. Here he says we must not make a mistake a disciplined life for a holy life. There are many people, Buddhist monks, Muslims, Catholic priests, who can say no to their desires, but it does not mean they're holy. So don't mistake holiness and discipline. They're not the same thing. But if you are holy, you will gravitate and move toward discipline. The more holy you are, the more disciplined you are. But some people are disciplined without being holy. Chapter 5, imposed discipline. This is all about how to raise children. Many interesting things in this chapter. There are two extremes here. One is to be too permissive, and the other is to be too rigid. Some people, they want to protect the will of their children. So they, quote, get out of the way and let the little will run riot. Oh, don't do that. They'll say, quote, it isn't fair for parents to prepare their children for jail and then let them go there alone. So if you don't discipline your child and he shows up in prison, you should go there with him. He gives a story in the book. It's an excellent story. Maybe the best story in the book. So let me give this to you. He says there's a young man who was brilliant. He was gifted mentally. And he went to university. And when he went to university, he realized, I can pass all my subjects without studying. So he's passing his subjects, but he's spending most of his time with sports and parties. But then, toward the end of his university career, an opportunity comes up for him to enter an internship for a very nice job. So if he gets the internship, then 90% sure he'll get a really good job. The rest of his life, he's going to have this brilliant job from the time he's 22 on, and he's going to be really rich. So he says, I want that internship. And he pushes everything aside for a few weeks and studies night and day. And he goes and writes the test, and he scores the highest score. But the internship is given to the man who scored second below him because of racism. No, not because of racism. The man underneath him gets it, and the manager wrote a note to the student and said, you did very well on the test, but when we reviewed your social life from your teachers and your fellow students, we found that we were looking for a person with more discipline, even if they didn't score as high. Wow! Just let that story alone sell the book to you. And let that change our hearts and our lives to be, we need to fight with our flesh. Paul the Apostle said, I beat my body. It needs to be beaten. It's too strong. It's going to overcome you unless you're hitting it all the time. Well, these are more excellent quotes like this come from here. So I would encourage you to read through these quotes and read through these chapters. The Disciplined Life by Richard Taylor. The sixth chapter is maybe one of the best, How to Become a Disciplined Person. He offers 14 practical insights. It sounds like a Puritan, except there's not so much Bible. But this is very practical in the sixth chapter. The best chapters are the first and the second, and then the sixth chapter is good as well. It's a short book, and I would highly recommend it. Any questions or comments?